question is then, will they figure that a federally mandated increase in the employer's modification number when they go to, you see what I'm saying?
Probably.
When they figure the rates for substandard work? It'll be a lot of money.
Ready to go. This is Mayor Mickey Pyle. We're having our teleconference, city council meeting in the city of Girard, Kansas, our regular meeting of the city council on, March 30th, 2020. Karen Buck, will you do a, roll call, please?
Sheldon Delaney, first floor.
Present.
Lucas Stansberry, second floor.
Lucas, here.
Bill Houston, third ward.
Here.
Jeff Leslie, fourth ward.
Jeff Leslie, here.
We have a forum, Mr. Mayor.
Sheldon Delaney, will you do the invocation, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we just pause tonight, coming to you, Lord, and seeking your guidance. We thank you for the many, many blessings you give us each day. We thank you for the opportunity to serve in this city and capacity that we have. We thank you for keeping us safe from this virus. Lord, we just pray that your will be done, not only in this city and this county and state, but in this nation. Be with our leaders as they struggle with this situation that we have at this day. Now, Lord, we just trust you in our lives and everything that we say and do. We just give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Barb Bailey.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, this is Mayor Mickey Pyle. I'm asking for an acceptance of the agenda.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
City Clerk speaking, Karen. I notice there's an error on the agenda, on the one that's online versus the one that was printed out. It is Ordinance 2020-07. The one that's printed is correct. The one that is on the TV is incorrect. The one that's on your iPad is incorrect.
The 2020-07
is correct.
Is right.
Don't we need that? Johanna O'Brien, don't we need to add the date to Austin? Yes. Sure. On the consent agenda for Austin's raise for successful completion of probationary period, that needs to say beginning March 26, 2020.
Dan Meyer here, City Attorney. We need to move to amend the agenda to reflect those two things and then move to accept the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, Sheldon Delaney, I move that we amend the agenda with those two items listed on A, the 2020-07, and also on B, on the consent agenda at March the 26th.
Lucas Stansberry, second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Oh, yeah, take the roll call.
Okay. Sheldon Delaney.
Say aye.
Aye.
Lucas Stansberry.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeff Leslie.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, Sheldon Delaney, I move we accept the agenda as presented with the corrections.
Second, Bill Houston.
Sheldon Delaney.
Aye.
Lucas Stansberry.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeffrey Leslie.
Aye.
Motion carries. At this time, we'll go to regular business. It's Mayor Pyle. Item A, opening the sealed bids for the lift station.
Before we move on to regular business, I think we have to accept the consent agenda. agenda as amended. I don't believe
approve it.
Approve it as amended.
Mr. Chairman, Sheldon Devine, I move we approve the consent agenda as amended.
Lucas Stansberry, second it.
Sheldon Devine?
Aye.
Lucas Stansberry?
Aye.
Bill Houston?
Aye.
Jeffrey Leslie?
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, on the opening of the sealed bids for the lift station. The first bid is from HFE Process, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay, the price of the bid from them is $65,640. Bid number two is from Haynes Equipment. Haynes Equipment bid is total bid in the amount of $72,979.
Council, Daniel Ryan, we would like to take some time to review the quotes and compare them to our budget. We'd like to table that.
Mr. Chairman, Sheldon Devine, I move that we table these bids till the next meeting so our people can get a look at them.
Second, Bill Houston.
Okay. Sheldon Devine.
Aye.
Lucas Stansberry.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeffrey Leslie.
Aye.
It will be tabled till the next meeting. Moving on, item B, consider mill and overlay contract and bonds.
Johanna O'Brien, this is basically the same contract we used in 2018. The only thing that changed was the performance bonds are good for 1 year instead of three. And it's better the same for the contractor that we approved at the last meeting. They've got it signed and they're wanting to start tomorrow morning. If we get approved and signed tonight, they'll start milling tomorrow. And as far as the budget amendment that's finished, Karen and I have to, it'll be our first budget amendment, so I need to talk to her about how we publish that and how we hold the hearing. That'll get on there too.
Jeff Leslie, Mr. Mayor, I move we accept the mill and overlay contract and bonds from Batch Construction.
Second. Bill Houston.
I've had a motion and a second. So, Sheldon Devine.
Aye.
Lucas Stansberry.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeffrey Leslie.
Aye.
Accepted for starting construction as soon as 3/31 of 2020. Item C, approve Ryan Insurance Policy.
Joanne O'Brien. We've used Ryan Insurance ever since I've been here, at least, but probably a much longer time. Karen, how much did that policy go? We added some things, really, some equipment.
We did, when you talked about
how you, from last year.
Oh, okay.
So there was an increase. We don't get a lot of people that'll bid our insurance because we have the power plant.
Right.
There was an increase. I can't remember how much it was, but part of it was due to adding new equipment.
$9,000.
Was it $9,000?
Yeah, about $9,000, $10,000. What was the total you have there?
Yes, evening.
It's getting there.
Bill Houston, what was the total on that, Karen?
The total is $105,080.59. That's number C on your iPad, under reservation.
Mr. Chairman, Sheldon DeLang, I move that we accept the bid from Ryan Insurance to the tune of $105,080.59. Bill Houston, second.
Sheldon DeLang?
Aye.
Lucas Stansberry?
Aye.
Bill Houston?
Aye.
Jeffrey Leslie?
Aye.
Motion carries. Went on to item D, discuss city operations amid COVID-19.
The city hall, the office is running well. Crockhand really helped us. We're able to, Joanne O'Brien, sorry. We're, the girls, the payroll clerk and billing clerk have been able to set up at home and have access to the, our utility billing software. And we were able to get them on the phone and forward all city calls to them so that they can answer questions. So continue going that way as far as City Hall. Public Works and Electric, we've been having one guy on ever each day. And Cliff and Steve would like permission to have more than one guy on every day as long as they maintain their social distancing. If you guys are all fine with that, I don't think we need a motion. It was more just wanted to get your approval for it.
Bill Houston, I have a question. Is the golf course closed?
Yes. And we, at this point, we don't even have control over that. The governor has closed those types of things down. Beth is aware of that. The new lessee on for the restaurant. But you guys are all fine with that. I don't think we need a motion, but it looks like everybody's fine with it.
Lucas Stansberry, I have one question, Johanna. For now, are we just doing week by week, addressing this plan? And do we want to put an end date on it? Because I know that was something this morning we had to do the forwarding another week because we're not sure when someone will be back into the office.
I think the plan right now would be to keep going from council meeting to council meeting, but if the governor for some reason lifts the stay-at-home order, we'll probably call a special meeting to have you guys let us all come back if it's very far away from the next council meeting.
And that's till the 30th, correct? But
19th of April.
I believe April 19th is correct, Daniel O'Brien.
This is Steve Engermeyer. We want to probably have the council also adopt almost in total the Supreme Court order closing down courts for a municipal court. I don't think we've done that.
Do we need to have them?
We need to pass an ordinance because that did, or pass a resolution or at least a motion of some kind of official recognition, because that did not cover municipal courts. But under our home rule, we are allowed to close our courts, and our courts are closed for the obvious reasons. All municipal courts are closed pretty much in Kansas, so
to handle Brian again, do you just want somebody to make a motion saying we're going to follow the Attorney General guidelines?
Well, that is actually a Supreme Court order.
Oh, okay.
And so we would need to probably adopt that as a city. We could do it now and then formally adopt it with a resolution or an ordinance at the next meeting. Either one's fine. But if you just took the text from the Supreme Court order and put in the city of Girard, I think you'll be fine. But we need some kind of official recognition that we're actually closing courts and
Johanna Bryan again, does anybody on the council want to make a motion adopting the order from the Supreme Court concerning closing courts?
Jeff Lassley, I move the city adopt Kansas Supreme Court order closing municipal courts.
Sheldon Devine, second it.
I've had a motion and a second. Sheldon DeLange.
Aye.
Lucas Stansberry.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeffrey Leslie.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Steve Angermeyer again. One of the things that we can do is we can do a couple of things. At the league, the last league meeting, by the way, they're having them on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 o'clock. If some of you have attended, I know several have here. And some of it is repeat information, which is good. It takes a while to sink in with the changing by the hour type situation. But one of the things that we could do that I don't believe is necessary for us to get FEMA funds is to declare a state of emergency. There is an ordinance on the league website if we want to do that. I don't think it's necessary at this time. The other thing that we probably need to do is the next thing on the agenda. And so I think we're prepared probably to give some authority for that. In case this gets worse, we got to be able to pay bills. And so those are the two most important things that I think I see with the social distancing thing. The third thing would be, do we want to have everybody at this meeting remote with just a skeleton city staff here at the council headquarters, or do you want to keep meeting in person? That's probably, I'll talk about that as well. This thing is spreading. The numbers are all over the place. The speculation's all over the place, but I do know one person every 17 minutes is dying in New York City. No, we're not in New York City.
Johanna O'Brien again. For this meeting, I spoke to council members and they had questions about either coming to the meeting in person or calling in on a conference call. I just said do whichever you feel comfortable with. So if you guys want to continue to do it that way, if you want to come in person, you can. And if you don't, call in a conference call. I'm fine with that. I'm just giving you guys the discretion.
Jeff Leslie, question for or a city attorney, would it be a good idea to enter a motion or a resolution that in event we were unable to meet to provide authority, financial authority to the mayor?
Yes, that's the next thing on the agenda. This is Steve Angermeyer. That's item number E on the agenda that we're getting ready to approve. The answer is yes, we do need to do that in the event something untoward would happen.
Shannon O'Brien, do we want to move on to item E since we're talking about it?
Yes, we'll move on to item E, was considered league sample ordinance to allow personnel and or mayor to approve appropriations.
Johanna O'Brien, I don't have that language that Councilman Leslie just mentioned, but I think that would be a good idea to put that in the ordinance where it says in the event that council cannot meet. Can we approve it like that with that amendment?
Yeah, I think, this is Steve Angermeyer. I think if you, under our home rule, this is extraordinary times. And the main thing is you want to probably give one or two or both people, or three people, depending on how you decide, the ability to pay bills probably to the end of the year. And it only takes effect if for some reason that you cannot issue the appropriations.
Johanna Bryan, does it read that way currently?
I'm trying to draw it up. Let me draw that up real quick. While you guys talk about it.
Johanna O'Brien, I like that suggestion from Councilman Lovely that it just says in the event we cannot meet.
Karen, but there was a meeting Wednesday for City Clerk to discuss exactly that for paying the bills. Do we want to address this at the next meeting then after Karen has her Johanna O'Brien?
after Karen has her meeting with the other city clerks to see what other cities are doing, and it'd be a 2-hour meeting.
That would probably be best, Sheldon,
right.
Mike.
Do you want to table it for, Johanna O'Brien, do you want to table it for next time, and I can add in the language Councilman Leslie suggested, and we can get some feedback from the city clerks?
Lucas Stansbury, the only problem I have is if it moves quicker than the next meeting. So, because are you talking about the next council meeting?
Well, this Wednesday, Ms. Karen Beck, this Wednesday will be a 2-hour meeting for city clerks from the IIMC, which is the International Municipality Municipal Clerk, will be discussing what to do in this crisis situation with paying the bills and regarding the ordinances and how to continue business as needed.
Mm-hmm.
I can report to Johanna after that meeting, and then she can pass that on and see if it requires a special meeting or not.
This is Lucas, because I know looking at the calendar, the 13th is our next council meeting, correct?
Okay.
So we would have almost a whole week.
Johanna O'Brien, when this is over, can we rescind that ordinance so that it's not due 2020?
This is Steve Angmeyer. I'm reading the sample ordinance, and it just allows for payment of all claims and charges against the accounts that's set up in your budget. And so it has the sample ordinance has a provision for the city clerk and countersigned by the city administrator, and you can say mayor, you can just about say anybody, as provided by law, that you're going to basically pay all claims and charges against each fund set up in the budget.
Johanna O'Brien, so that means there's some restrictions in it that you just can't pay for things that weren't already budgeted for?
That's Steve Angmeyer. That is correct. And so it was not a willy-nilly carte blanche write the check, obviously. It's just to keep your city on budget and make sure you pay your employees and your other claims that are in your budget. And so there is some limitation in the one that they've said. Once you vote on this, it takes effect after you pass it and publish it once in the city newspaper. The only thing that is a little concerning is if you put a provision in about not being able to meet, how are you going to know it's in effect if you haven't already put it in effect? So those are the complications.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are the complications you have. My suggestion would be, let's draft an ordinance, pass it, publish it, and then we can continue to meet and have the appropriations, but in the event that we don't meet for whatever reasons, the bills will still get paid. That's my thought.
Johanna O'Brien, it's drafted and it's on the iPad.
Okay.
And it's drafted as suggested, as recommended by the league.
I was looking at, this is Steve Angerman, I was looking at this sample one, so.
Where's it at?
Lucas Stansbury, it's item letter E, and we have it drafted as a city clerk and countersigned by the mayor, which I'm fine with. It's the other council is also.
I believe in the sample, Johanna O'Brien, I believe in the sample ordinance, it was the city clerk and city manager or administrator, but I changed it to mayor because I thought it'd be better to have one staff person and one person that's elected, yeah. And that was just me changing that, but if you guys want to do it different. But Mickey's involved enough that he's usually available to sign things. And as an elected official, I thought that might be better.
Sheldon Ryan, if we approve that what's in our iPad for now, that would cover it, wouldn't it, Steve?
This is Steve Angmeyer. Yes, if you pass this, you'd be covered in the event something untoward would happen. It would grant your city clerk and your mayor to pay any claim against the fund in the budget, and then if you had anything extraordinary, you would have to come back to the council and quorum, all that kind of stuff. So,
Johanna O'Brien, I didn't ask the mayor when I wrote it that way if he was comfortable with it, so I should have asked him before.
Sheldon DeLine, council member, we'll tell the mayor what to do.
Jeff Leslie, second.
That's Mr. Mayor, Sheldon DeLine, I move that we accept the COVID-19 plan of action that was presented on our iPad that will help us get through this situation.
It's ordinance 2020-7.
2020-7.
No. If it's ordinance, it has to be 1346.
Oh, was it resolution or ordinance?
No, you put it as an ordinance.
Oh, yeah.
I did it like the lead said it. So what number? 1346.
Jacob O'Brien, ordinance number 1346.
He said in the form of the motion, 1346. Mr. Chairman.
Lucas Stansbury, second it.
I had a motion. I've had a second. Sheldon DeLange.
Aye.
Lucas Stansbury.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeffrey Leslie.
Aye.
Motion carries. Moving on to item F. Consider rendering the golf course John Deere mower surplus resolution, or surplus resolution 2020-5.
Joanne O'Brien, the Public Works Director, has requested that the John Deere mower be surplus and he would take bids on it, still bids, until the Friday prior to the next meeting, whatever day that is. It's in the resolution.
Sheldon DeLange, question. That gives only about 10 days for people to look at that thing, if I remember right, on your dates. It'd be nice if it'd be a little longer than that to give somebody. Do they have, they don't have much time to even find out it's available. You know, put it on some of these internet things.
It's literally, Steve Brooks, Public Works Director, it's literally, Steve Brooks, Public Works Director. So, Mr. DeLange, it is literally, it's inoperable. And so, it's not anything that, I mean, they can look at it. Basically, it's going to be a parts piece, yeah. So, it was part of the reason why we wanted to move on it quickly and just get it out of the way. It's kind of the way where it's at right now. We've exhausted every avenue that we can to try to find a way to make it work. And has no compression. Well, it has compression, but it doesn't have any fire. We've looked at injectors and everything else, and there's nothing that's going to make it run. We've had it looked at twice now, and both parties were in the same agreement that it's not going to run. So at this point, we're just looking to remove it.
Needs a new motor. It needs a new motor?
Yes. And according to two different mower suppliers that we talked with that deal with golf course mowers, the mower body itself, typically the way it got wear out before the motor, so if the motor's gone, it's typically not worth putting any motor in.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Sheldon DeLange, I move that we approve the surplus for the John Deere mower. It's an 8,800, isn't it?
Yes, Jeff Leslie, yes, that's what's on the Steve Brooks' request.
Make that in the form of a motion and let Steve see what he can do with it.
Jeff Leslie, second.
I've had a motion, I've had a second to put the John Deere mower on surplus. Sheldon DeLange.
Aye.
Lucas Stansbury.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeffrey Leslie.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay, at this time, with no further business, so we go on to other governing body comments. Sheldon DeLange.
Sheldon DeLange, two questions. Can we do something about the alley behind the post office that you get to the north end and you almost destroy the... Can we put some rock in there or something, Steve?
Public Works Director Seabrooks. So, we have filled, are you talking about the big hole at the north end?
Yes.
The big gaping hole. So,
a couple of them.
Yeah, we've filled that twice so far with coal patch, and that's the best thing that we can do with it, quite honestly, until I can get in there and do a hot patch, which, with us starting the mill and overlay, very likely can do that. So, but it's going to require bodies, and so right now we're still limited with the way we're staffing. What we're trying to do Part of what Johanna was asking for tonight is some of the bigger projects that we've got, if I can bring people in and keep the social distance rule applicable. That's what we're trying to do where we can. But right now, we've got one big fish to finish frying, and that's out at the water plant. And so that's where I'm putting the bodies at.
You got to have that dry, too, don't you, to fix that hole?
It does need to be dry, but we do have access, usually Bettis, whenever they did work here before, and I'm sure it won't be a problem again. We have pretty good access to get hot mix while they're running.
While we're here, I'd like to find out when they're going to start on this road again and what's projecting, when are we?
47?
Yes.
So 47 was scheduled for April 20th, if I remember correctly. I believe that's the date I have on my mind. Was supposed to be the startup, but that was for Mission to come back and begin again on the drain project. They have to finish the drain project before we can pick 47 back up. So I wish I could tell you for sure when that's going to be, but I believe they still got, I think what Kurt Williams told me from Earl's Engineering, that they would have at least 3 solid weeks, I believe was what he told me, to complete, which it shouldn't take them that long. And then once they get that done,
the drain project is the one coming up with a big pipe coming across.
Correct.
Thank you. Oh, I have, Mr. Mayor.
Lucas Stansbury.
Mr. Mayor, Lucas Stansbury. To add to yours, Steve, on the COVID-19, I know that the plan that Johanna, City Administrator, has put into place, I feel as long as the social distancing is there, and if the council agrees, then I don't see it being a problem with having extra bodies if you have projects that need to be done, so we don't get too far behind after it's all said and done, hopefully in the near future. And I know that personally, do we have enough supplies as far as the cleaning supplies for the individuals if they have to do doorknobs, stuff like that during the day? Or
so, Steve Brooks. Yes and no. I mean, I received an email a few days ago that there's a company that's got their hands on some more disinfect, and that's more than anything probably what we go through. Gloves are pretty readily available. We haven't resorted to masks. What masks we have, we've used, and from everything I've been seeing, it's going to be about impossible to get them. So.
And the other questions I've received is, as the timeline progresses and we have some of the spring, summer activities, do you have some timelines that we can notify individuals or citizens, like Bill said earlier, like the golf course? I know it's going to be in the future, and no one really wants a date and time, but we'll probably have to make sure everything is cleaned and at least put back in order before those facilities are used again.
Sure. And so, Steve Brooks again. So, I don't really have at this point, a defined timeline as far as how I want to do it. What we're trying to do at this point is keep up with what we've got, where the guys are working out of. And I would say when it's all said and done, you know, I've seen the fogging type disinfects that I thought for equipment might not be a bad idea because you can cover a lot more space with it. And they're actually pretty reasonable. And so I'm actually looking at that right now as a possibility or an option, versus sitting there with wipes and trying to wipe everything down in a backhoe. In terms of the golf and that type of thing, the clubhouse, unfortunately, was thoroughly cleaned in preparation for this restaurant, but yes, it's going to need to be probably top to bottom cleaned again. And so far, we've been able to limit, for the most part, the golf play. There's been a little bit that was going on out there prior to the governor signing off on no more golf course activity. Still have some people, apparently, I was informed today, that are paying no mind to that. So I will address that on a case-by-case basis, and we'll get them off the course. My plan was to, until we actually completely open that clubhouse back up, to, once the end of their, well, now with the mayor or the governor making this choice, it makes it a lot easier for me. But before they made that, I couldn't really tell people they couldn't go out on it. We just closed the clubhouse. So we had people that were pass holders that were going out and playing. And so once the season was over, my plan was to just postpone anything going on until such time that the council opens the clubhouse back up.
Okay. And the other question I have, drainage, especially on, I know on the north side we've had some other pooling again, and you brought this up before, Lucas, again, we have the ram jet, that's what you call it, correct?
The jetter.
So is that something where we typically do that during, is that annually, or I guess I don't know, how important is that when it comes to trying to clean out some of the problem areas? Is that something we've done in the past, scheduled, or?
Okay, so, see, Brooks, are you talking on residential, or are you talking on?
Yeah, because I guess I'm more curious about, because there's some places where it looks like a lot of the water goes from several areas, and there's some places that are ideally residentials, or they look like residential. One is, I guess, on Leonard, there's a culvert that comes out from the ground, like, I think goes towards that lake or pond or whatever you want to call it. Like, is that cities there? Is that our drainage, or is that something off Leonard Street? This is down Leonard. I'm not sure what the, it's just a white pipe. I don't know if it's like, is that city owned, or is that just, that's just a group that has have done that over time?
It's between the 700 block of North Leonard, 720 up towards Copper Place. There's a white pipe that I think the residents put in. I'm not real sure if it's resident or city, but it's there, and the drainage goes off of Leonard into the lake. So any street drainage, storm drainage.
I would almost think with that, I can't get my head wrapped around, I'm sorry, buzzing for some reason, but I would almost think if it drains to the lake, it's about got to be a residential thing that they put in to move the water away. Some of what we run into is, especially with the residential side, is to get people to have the understanding that on the residential part of it, it's the residents' responsibility to keep their drains open. And that's one of the biggest problems that we run into. We have our own drains that we need cleaned as well. I will say that there are several that need to be opened up a little better. And we're trying to do that on a case-by-case basis. And unfortunately, with everything else that we have going on, it pretty much comes down to where's the water cooling, and that's where we go to get it taken care of. I'm not sure that's the right answer for you that you want to hear, but drainage is an issue across this town. And a lot of it is, there's been some neglect over the years that needs to be dealt with, and it's going to be a slow process to get it done. But the drainage is one of my informant for the street department. It's one of his primary targets for this summer, is to work the drainage over. And he knows that. We've talked about it repeatedly, and that's going to be a primary task for him.
Okay. So so for me, my clarity is, for the citizens, they do as much as they can with their culverts or their drainage, be it a side ditch, a side yard. And then if they have trouble or they can't get it to flow through the culverts, does the city do that on a per-call basis, or is it just no one?
Well,
do I open that can of worms? Or like, I don't know how it works. I'm sure there's a lot.
Dangerous again. So, yeah, for me, it kind of opens up a can of worms, because I think what you run into is this. You have some that will legitimately drain, and then you have some that won't. We have one that we cleaned out. It was a major pooling problem, and we tried to get the people to deal with it, and they wouldn't deal with it, and it got to the point we had to do something with it. When we got in to clean it out, it wasn't even a ramjet issue. There was literally big toys and everything else inside of this culvert. It was a pretty healthy sized culvert. There were big toys and all kinds of different things that were in that culvert that caused it to back up. And once we got the leaves and everything pulled away from it with a vac, we were able to actually find the source of the problem. And that's what you run into. You know, it's people driving over the edges of them and smashing them down. And then next thing you know, they pile up with leaves, and then it becomes mud and dirt. So it's one of those things that I wish we could find a way to reach out to homeowners and get them to understand. You know, most homeowners, I think, do. I think some don't, that it doesn't end when you sign the line by the house. That's part of the maintenance of it. and it's the same way that I do with mine. I mean, I claim my cold every year, every first of the year in spring. So, because things do end up in there, leaves blow in, dirt blows in, it's part of it. But I'll do whatever you guys tell me you want me to do. Tell me you want me to go around and blow culverts, we'll blow culverts. But it is something that I feel like if we start doing that, it's going to be very time consuming, and it's probably going to pull us away from some of the other things that we need to be doing. So.
No, I think your idea with the large standing pools of water, because you can see those, and we have some areas that need more, they need addressing now. And if you can keep doing that, because I know you guys are doing the best you can, and you're working as hard as you can. And I think as citizens, if we can do some of our own and get the low-hanging fruit, but then maybe in the next few months or even next year, we can look at some of the larger problems or the ones that might require kind of a discussion between homeowners and the city. So that way, because what I'm saying is sometimes when you get downhill and it starts, that's when your problem starts and it's harder to get the water flowing, for lack of better words. And I think some of those places we can address just because we have the tools that might be better. For, like you said, that one you found, maybe someone moved and they had no idea. The new homeowners had no idea there was a bunch of stuff there. It's not bad on the north side, but the mosquitoes were so bad last year, and I just don't want that to be a persistent problem just with time and all that. Because I know I cleaned mine out last weekend, and there was quite a bit. But like you said, you just have to take time and do it, and it will get better over time.
Steve Brooks again. So we have we have some of the chemical that we ordered last year. It's safe to use, which we do a lot of standing water spraying once we start getting back into the mosquito season, and we'll be doing some of that again as well.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, that's all I had.
Okay. Bill Houston?
I have nothing.
Chief Leslie?
Jeff Wesley, I wanted to thank Joanna, Karen, Steve, Clifford, and all of the city employees for keeping things going in difficult times. Also, trust completely Clifford and Steve's judicious use of their personnel, extra guys from what the bare bones process has been. Knowing that you guys are going to take care of your people, do the best you can, and treat them as you would your own, because they are your own. And I appreciate that very much. Question for Steve on the milling schedule. Said they may start on Cherokee tomorrow.
Seabrooks, yes. It'll start on the north side of 47, and they want to mill that entire section there. And then after that, jump over to the south side and start running back.
Will they, Jeff Leslie, will they then, I don't know for sure how the process works. Will the folks have access to their driveways? Will they need any kind of, how long does it last, or how long does it take them to go and stretch, or?
Seabrooks again. So it is, according to Bill Delich and the conversation that we had the other day, they will work with the homeowners. He made that very clear. They'll work with the homeowners through this process. If somebody needs out, they'll get them out one way or another. But typically, within usually about 10 minutes or so, they can be on it and out of the way. The biggest concern we had, and I spoke with both of them, we didn't do like we typically would do for a pre-con meeting because of the situation with the COVID, but we had a conference call with myself, with Bill Delich, with his foreman and my foreman, and had kind of a small pre-construction meeting, and went over what our expectations were. And the biggest concern that I had was on Cherokee in particular, the co-op, because there's a lot of big trucks that run around in there, and so I was concerned about how that would impact their business. I didn't want to shut it down. So I spoke with Mr. Elnicki at the co-op, and he said, we will work with you through the whole thing as much as we need to, because we're excited to have a new road. And they have a rear access they can come into off of Antelope, and he said they would be perfectly fine. So that was the biggest thing outside of that. The only other thing is it would be the square, because as you all know, we did the three sides of the square, short of 7. And what we're going to do with that is we're going to do one side per day. And they're going to try to put out advance notification to the courthouse and to businesses on the square to try to get them to park, hopefully, around to the next block side so that they can do that stretch and then turn around and do the same thing on the next. be a little inconvenient for some of the business owners having to park a block away, but in the end, they'll all have better roads for it.
Jeff Leslie, I appreciate that very much. I know the residents on Willow Street are excited to have that done. And after speaking with Ethan this afternoon, he's gotten with you and scheduled to let sewer cuts and not a deep progress with that.
Steve Roof, that is correct. He was running some issues. His typical gravity had a heart attack and kind of slowed the process down a little bit. But as it is right now, at the end of the day today, we spoke and I helped him find somebody that can do the digging for him. He's got another guy to make the connection. That'll be done. It won't be until Thursday, but I spoke with Bill Delich with Bettis Asphalt, and we will make Willow our last stretch, and that should give us time to get the rock bedded in good and settled. I just didn't want to have it like it did at the end.
Jeff Weiss, I appreciate it very much. Chris Windsor, I think he's going to do the dig, right?
Chris.
He's pretty reliable.
Yep.
Individual in my experience. So thank you very much. That's it, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, it's Mayor Mickey Pyle. I just want to commend everybody that's working with this on this COVID-19. We're up against something we haven't had before, and I believe we'll work on it together, and we'll get through it and be better for it. And I want to thank everybody for their cooperation, and that's about all I have for right now. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Sheldon DeLange, I move we adjourn.
Bill Houston, second.
Sheldon DeLange.
Aye.
Lucas Stansberry.
Aye.
Bill Houston.
Aye.
Jeffrey Leslie.
Aye.
Motion carries. We are adjourned. Now, what do you do here? End call.